Blog Talk Radio.
You got to listen to the Bob Carson Show. It's about the real deal. And this is Les Leopold, the author of Runaway Inequality, An Activist Guide to Economic Justice.
Hi, this is Stuart Acuff with Utility Workers Union of America, asking you to tune in every time you can to Bob Carson's Carson's Corner, one of the best pro-labor shows in America. We love it at Utility Workers. We love it across the AFL-CIO, and we're grateful to Bob for coming on and holding up our issues and holding up our principles and values.
I'm Andrew Craig. I'm an investigative reporter and attorney based in Washington, and I've the author of Presidential Puppetry, Obama, Romney, and Their Masters. And I want to encourage everyone to support, listen to, and talk about the Carson's Corner show in New Jersey, which is a pioneering, courageous, and apt voice for progressives in New Jersey that I first came to know in 2009, when he was the pioneering and virtually unique media outlet willing to take on Chris Christie, dig deep, and look at how he had come to power and how he was misusing it. And 4 years, 5 years later here, that's all come to pass.
Hi, this is David K. Johnston, and you're listening to Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
Hi, this is Harry Kaysen, member supporter of the Zeitgeist Movement. As Zeitgeist members, we know that it is virtually impossible to find sources in the media that speak truth to power. Well, Carson's Corner does just that, and it is one of those special places where you can find out what is really going on, not just what the bosses want you to know and think. So listen in and hear some truth at Carson's Corner. And oh, by the way, be sure to check out all the Zeitgeist and Zeitgeist-related films you can find on YouTube. We've got a world to save.
This is Greg Palin, reporter for BBC Television and Democracy Now, and author of the new book, Vulture's Picnic, In Pursuit of Petroleum Pigs, Power Pirates, and High Finance Carnivores. And you're listening to Carson's Corner on 5:30 a.m. Underground Progressive Radio, radio for the 99%. Help us occupy the airwaves and support Carson's Corner and support 5:30 Underground Progressive Radio.
Hey, this is Frank Schaefer, author, writer, New York Times bestseller. But I'm here today because I've got a new book called Why I'm an Atheist Who Believes in God. And I'm also on Carson's Corner because corporate media is so one-dimensional in terms of the kind of things they cover that they couldn't comprehend a discussion that would begin with a statement that implies a huge paradox. But I think there's a lot of thinking people out there who understand that life is paradoxical, and Carson's Corner is one of those places you can discuss it. So thanks for being with us.
Listeners, and welcome to Carson's Corner with the election broadcast. The election boycott advocates. Oh, stumbling on my words here. Tonight's show is going to be a special show. We're going to devote the entire show to the discussion about the assassination of General Soleimani, Iran's most beloved military leader by an American hit, basically an American drone hit at the international airport in Baghdad. Soleimani was on a mission of peace to Iraq. He had been invited by Donald Trump to come and discuss peace plans with Saudi Arabia, and Trump, the Trump regime, used that as a way to get him right where they wanted him, and then they droned him. Also killed in that were, I believe, five other people, including the head of one of Iraq's citizens' militias that has been in Syria defending Syrian people against ISIS and fighting the good fight against ISIS. So this is really... Well, we'll get into it, but this will have certainly enormous repercussions. It's going to depend a lot on what Iran's response is militarily, and then what the next American response is. Donald Trump has promised to, in an act of international terror, to bomb 52 important cultural sites in Iran. So this is the topic of discussion tonight, and along with us we have, as per usual, Rainer Shea. Rainer had a great article in the Dandelion Salad website about this. We welcome a special guest tonight, Dan Welsh. Dan is a frequent contributor to Press TV, the Iranian public television network that's available in a lot of places in the United States, on cable, on satellite, and so forth. Anyway, without further ado, we want to say welcome to Dan. Hello, Dan. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and this is a rare treat. We haven't, from my poor memory, the last time you were on the show was just prior to the election in 2016. So we haven't talked to you in a while.
I was probably making all sorts of weird predictions anyway.
you made a wrong prediction. You said that Bernie Sanders would win. That didn't happen.
Right.
Who knows? It could happen this time, though.
Yeah,
Bernie's looking like he's in better shape this time than the last time. So we'll see how that goes. Although he has a lot of fierce enemies out to get him. Anyway, Dan, of course, we've been following your articles and your appearances on Press TV. So we've been keeping an eye on you, Dan. And we like
Thank
what you.
You
say. We like your analysis. Your analysis is great. And Rainer, are you with us?
Yes.
Great. I don't know if you're Rainer. I don't know if you've ever run into to Dan, but he, like you, very much like you, he does a lot of important writing and analysis about domestic and global events. So, with that, I think. Because both of you have written on this subject, and I haven't. I've pontificated about it a little bit on Facebook, but I haven't written anything. So why don't we, first of all, give Dan a chance to tell us, Dan, what has your initial response to this act of terrorism by the United States against the people of Iran and the people of Iraq?
Well, I think that's completely on point. It is an act of terrorism, and it's more like a mafia hit than some sort of act of war. It's an interesting thing. It's like, you know, what you would do with special ops, but right out in public. Like, you know, you get
right.
the guy to be lured into this situation and then knock him out with a drone. It's like Michael Corleone finding the gun taped to the, you know, back of the toilet in the restaurant. Like, it's an incredibly ugly thing. And the tough thing is that, of course, it's really important to say, you know, that these guys are all crazy. They're warmongers, the whole class, the billionaire class, the military-industrial complex. They want war. They've always wanted this. The Democrats are no different than the Republicans, blah, 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 blah. But this dude is crazy. I mean, you know, there are all sorts of people in the establishment who have been kicking around the bowels of the State Department for 40 years. And there are crazies, and then there are crazies. There's the John Bolton, the Elliot Abrams. These guys have kind of like stumbled into a perfect storm. They have Trump's ear. This neocon, Israeli-focused cabal have managed to get him to do. What's the craziest thing we could do? Chris, let's see. Well, you know, we could plow the streets. Yeah, or we could just scrape them all up and nuke them. Like, these guys are waiting in the corner with the crazy ideas. And for this time, they managed to get Trump's ear and get him to do. I mean, this is an unbelievably crazy thing, more so than all of the other. You know, Joe Biden may be full of shit, but this is unbelievably crazy.
Unbelievably
stupid. Strategic mess is, I hate to agree with the Democrats, but this is a really bad decision.
I know, right?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, Trump is, for the last 4 years or so prior to being elected and the last 3 years as president, has made these wild threats in the past against Iran.
Right.
Despite his promise not to get us into new wars, he's made threatening war threats against Iran constantly. He's never let up on that. He's hired all these neocons. I mean, this guy, Trump, campaigned as a paleocon, a guy who was a nationalist, who, you know, looked towards isolation, but this is more neocon territory for sure. And, you know, but Trump does this all the time with his enemies. He tries to bully them. He makes big wild threats, but he never intends to carry these threats out. Now, with this, with this kind of an attack on the entire people of Iraq and Iran, he has boxed himself into a corner where he's got to, you know, tit for tat retaliation, and even worse. So he's boxed himself into a corner. Yet, militarily, this is a war the United States could not win. First of all, they do not have the manpower to commit ground troops to a war against Iran. Number two, their naval advantage is in the Strait of Hormuz, in the Persian Gulf, and you know, there's no way that they can beat Iran in that territory. Iran will, if necessary, shut down the Strait of Hormuz. That's just a fact. It will happen.
Yeah.
If they're pushed to it, Iran will attack the Americans' closest Arab allies, like Saudi Arabia, Saudi Iran. I mean, Saudi Iran and the other Gulf Emirates, the Gulf dictatorships, as I call them. They're just right across the Persian Gulf from Iran. Very close. I mean, it'll be easy. The United States has one of its largest military bases worldwide is in Bahrain, which is very close. That can easily be attacked. Iran, unlike Saddam Hussein, you know, in 2003. Iran has missile capabilities that are far, far, far in advance of what Saddam had back then. Saddam was tossing Scuds wildly up in the air. I mean, a Scud is based on the U-2 from World War II, for Christ's sake. You know, Saddam had World War II technology.
It's a different world.
The Iranians have state-of-the-art, best-in-the-world military technology. And,
well, they have,
you know,
U.S.
The United...
technology since they reverse-engineered the drone they shot down, too.
Right. You know, and I've heard lots of rumors over the last 5 or 6 years about Iran's anti-electronics capabilities, where they can shut down the electronics on an aircraft carrier, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know if those rumors have been true or not, but they're pretty specific rumors that indicate that Iran has really incredible technologies there. Well, you know, the Trump is threatening to attack Iranian cultural targets, 52 of them. And how's that going to happen, you know, if Trump has to turn tail and pull all his naval forces out of the Persian Gulf? Well, you know, that puts a big crimp in Trump's plans. I mean, in reality, you know, Trump, at least alone, the American empire alone, doesn't have the capabilities to carry out a ground war against Iran. So this will have to remain in the realm of air attacks, basically, air attacks and naval attacks. Naval, you know, Trump's forces are going to be driven out of the Persian Gulf, driven out of the Strait of Hormuz. Air Force, you know, his primary way of getting air forces in there is through naval air forces that are stationed on aircraft carriers that are going to have to turn tail and leave. You know, the threat. Of course, the United States has enormous capacities to do damage against Iran if it's really determined. They even have the capacity to start using tactical nukes against Iran, which has been threatened. But, you know, the real possibilities today for Trump, they're not living up to the threats he's made, and yet he's boxed himself in this corner. So, anyway, Rainer, just wanted to hear from you. What has your initial reaction to all this been? What are your thoughts?
Oh, I've been observing on this last week as the United States has taken this drastic action, American power has been really collapsing. We're seeing how the what historians call micromilitarism, where empires carry out reckless military actions during their periods of decline, is now being rapidly demonstrated as after this assassination, the blowback has started to really work to the detriment of American power. I mean, look at how Iraq's government has responded by moving to remove U.S. troops from the country, and that's quickly tearing apart the relationship between Iraq and the United States, even though the United States installed Iraq's government a little over 15 years ago, and it could also lead to a catastrophic war that will break the power of the American Empire. This could be the catalyst that finally leads to the collapse of an already rapidly deteriorating global empire. If all-out war with Iran breaks out, it will provoke a massive anti-war movement within the United States, similar to Vietnam. It will overwhelm the resources of the United States military. It will completely destroy the legitimacy of the United States in the world stage. So we're seeing this blowback, and it's going to get worse.
Absolutely.
Blowback will get worse. So, Dan, your thoughts, what are the likely repercussions now, or what are some of the possible repercussions of this terrorist assassination by the American Empire against the people of Iran and the people of Iraq?
Well, I think Rainier makes a really, really important point in terms of these kind of micro dalliances of empire on the decline. Everyone wants to talk about, and they're not wrong, talk about white supremacy, talk about the arrogance and the absolute ignorance of the American Empire to dance around the world and just screw everyone over absolutely at their will, as if they have zero accountability to the world. And that's all true. But if you flip that for a second, let's see, as an act of complete desperation. Just think about that. Not an act of supremacy, but an act of a cornered rabid dog. And this is an empire on the decline. Whoa. Why would you make, like, think of a boxer or something cornered. Why would you make such an incredibly stupid strategic blunder unless you were forced? Like I said, you have this perfect storm of a cornered president, lunatic, who on the ropes in his domestic cage and decides, well, the only thing to do is to strike out, blah, blah, blah. Then on another level in that same realm, you have the idea that, what do you do? What does the empire do when it's failing? And the personalities then have nothing to do with Trump, nothing to do with anybody. The personalities don't matter. It is what happens when empire is on the ropes. You strike out. And as Rainier says, it's failing. It's not gonna work. And I don't think, I mean, you know, I mean, his scenario is kind of apocalyptic, not apocalyptic, but, you know, like, what's the worst case scenario? I think that this is the only scenario. The question is, or whether it's happening as a kind of apocalyptic catastrophe. It doesn't matter whether we're going into all of this, you know, the talk about the missile capabilities, the justice system, that. It doesn't matter. We have a puppet government installed by the U.S. that has turned on a dime because they have no choice and kicked the U.S. out. This is the U.S.'s puppet. That's the whole point. And what we see from now going forward, incontrovertibly, there's no turning back. There's no other path except for the rejection of American empire. When, how, to what extent, all those variables are just kind of in on the horizon. But it is the sunset is the horizon. It's time. This bitch is past its sell-by date. It is gone. And, you know, obviously, you can't say it's all over by the shouting. And also that could, you know, mean millions of lives. But I think that the die is cast. And this is kind of a step down that road. Unbelievably stupid. But hey, that's what dying empires do.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk a little bit about the economic repercussions, the global economic repercussions. I've already mentioned the fact that this could easily move towards a situation where the Strait of Hormuz is shut down. And I think there's something like 30% of the world's oil moves through that strait. If it's shut down, that oil doesn't move. What's the impact of a shortage of 30% on the of oil on the global oil market? This is at a time when we're already headed towards a very likely second economic financial meltdown, similar but probably worse than in 2008. And then you add this onto that. The initial economic fallout, of course, in the U.S. stock market has been great for oil companies as oil prices are sure to rocket upwards. It's been great for the military-industrial complex, which is sure to make tremendous profits. They're already rubbing their hands together gleefully over the profits they expect to make on this. But the more long-term economic repercussions are severe, to say the very least. So what are your thoughts on the economy likely fallout of an economy crashing and crashing even much harder because of this incredible blunder by the Trump regime?
Well, yeah, I think you nailed it. The fact is that maybe it's a preliminary strike rather than a reaction. You know, I mean, the economy is going this way anyway. All they did is reinflate the bubble.
Yeah.
Right? As it's 2008.
Right.
I mean, like, what is, I once had a bouncy house that, you know, that I rented for a party, and the circuit breaker kept blowing, so it kept, like, kind of sloughing down, and I kept going out and trying to, you know, push the circuit breaker, punch it back in, kind of throw it off, float again. Like, this, it's a scam. It's such a visible, you know, obvious scam. And they didn't correct anything. Anything in the economy, not the predatory lending, not the bundling, not the CDB stuff, nothing. They didn't change a thing. They just said, whistling
right.
in the dark, and we'll reinflate the economy on a slightly different bubble because since the Dutch tulip thing, that's all we can do. And it's not going to work. And so now they're in the crisis of, we're facing, you're right. This could be, like, really worse. Like, back into the Great Depression like this, because obviously there is no safety net. There's nothing for people once they've fallen through. This economy
yeah.
in the new bubble has taken care of the top maybe 10-15%, reset their home values, reset their stock values, and you can see even in this go around that the MIC stocks spiked overnight with this action against Soleimani. So, you know, they're trying desperately to use the tools they have to keep. I mean, I hate to be cynical, but it was like just to keep stock prices up. Really, I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
This is the whole thing. Charade is just to keep stock prices up, and it's really, really on the ropes.
It's really on the ropes, and as I mentioned in last week's show, situation right now has been that they are already, the Fed is already showering helicopter money down on the banks and so forth, and the banks
yeah.
have not used that money to invest. They've only used that money just to buy their own stocks back, to prop up their stock value. They've used that money to invest in real estate and other investments that are in no way productive, that produce no new value, no new wealth. Pepe Escobar had a great article that I just read right before the show started in Asian Times about the repercussion of this assassination on the derivatives market. Now, as we've talked about for the last several years, the derivatives market is, God, it's out of this world. The derivatives market is literally hundreds of trillions of dollars of outstanding derivatives. And for people who don't understand that, derivatives are kind of a hedge, basically, against the economy. But to have Pepe Escobar says that the derivatives market is something like 28 times the global GDP. So 28 times the amount of money that the entire world, the amount of wealth that the entire world creates. It's just a gigantic, gigantic bubble waiting to burst, and when it does, it's going to come crashing down. And that's only one of the
problems. And who's going to pay?
You know, yeah, and who's going to pay? Well, of course, the working class pays. Although, I mean, you know, you get something this drastic, a lot of wealthy people will lose a lot of their wealth as well in something like this. Now, how about repercussions on, from this assassination vis-a-vis hot war? United States, the American Empire, has been waging hybrid asymmetrical warfare against Iran for the last 40 years. I guess it's 41 years now, pretty soon. So Iran's had to deal with, you know, being in being the victims of one of America's most focused hybrid asymmetrical wars for the last 40 years. Now, what are the chances that this assassination will be the breaking point that pushes this towards a hot war? How inevitable is that? How possible is that?
I think you touched on something that's really important. This is a war, a total war, whether it's asymmetric, hybrid, hot, cold, that has been going on against the Iranian people since 1979. And obviously before then by, you know, since Mossadegh in 1953, which a people's government overthrown by the CIA. Same thing. These are people who are withstanding the assault against their own sovereignty. And the question is, when is enough? When does it break? Not when does it turn hot, but when have a people had enough? And if it's really important to look at this through the lens of the Iranian people. Like, you see this thing, this is, oh, some dude who got killed in a drone attack. We say he's a terrorist. That's too bad. But, you know, if these things happen, you see millions of people in the streets mourning, literally crying, wailing for this, the soul of this martyr, because he committed his life to defending Iranian sovereignty, defending his people against the aggression of the U.S. It's something that American people cannot really contemplate. It just doesn't figure. We don't have that, except I was on a show the other day when a presenter mentioned Patton and Eisenhower. And I thought, yeah, that is the appropriate analogy, going way back in our history, but not currently. Like, our generals are the aggressors, whether Colin Powell or Stormin, Norman, Schwarzkopf, whatever. This is they're mourning a fear of the homeland. It's an unbelievable thing that has to be taken into account beneath everything that's going on the surface. The Iraqi government, the Iranian government, have to take into account the rage and grief of the people in this regard, which is something that Americans have no understanding of.
Yeah. Rainer, any thoughts on the likely, inevitable, possible hot war developing out of this?
No. I think it's clear that not even Trump would prefer for there to be a hot war, because anyone can tell that such a war would exhaust the resources of the U.S. military.
Yeah.
I totally agree. So it seems like Trump and others will try to avoid such a scenario, but I don't know if they'll be able to do that, because when Iran retaliates, I'm sure the United States will retaliate back, and the U.S. is already preparing for such a confrontation by sending troops there, and I don't know where this is going because the United States has got itself into this position where if such a war breaks out, it won't be able to fight the war. Either it'll have to commit by reinstating the draft, or it'll have to surrender.
Yeah.
Yes, this situation, I keep going back to the same thing. Trump has boxed himself into a corner that he did not want to be in. It was obvious he didn't want to be in it. Trump is used to making all these wild threats and accusations, but then being able to, at the last moment, back down and make a deal. That's what he thinks is going to happen, the wild man theory of deal making. But something like this, it could turn out that way, but I seriously doubt it now, because this is just, as Dan was just saying, this is just way too much of an affront on the people of Iran. They're, like if someone assassinated Dwight Eisenhower immediately after World War II. You don't go and assassinate the other guy's top, most beloved military leader and expect there to be no repercussions. There has to be. The Iranian government, including the Ayatollah Khamenei, they have already said that there will be a proportionate response from this, and that there would be proportional responses to any air attacks on Iranian cultural assets. This is just, something that, from the vantage point of where we're at right now, it's hard to see how all-out open war is avoidable. And, of course, you can have all the air attacks and naval attacks on a country you want. But you don't win wars with air attacks and naval attacks. Air attacks and naval attacks are basically to pave the way for a ground attack. Trump simply does not have the ability anymore, much less the money, he doesn't have the ability anymore to wage that kind of an attack. Now, how about international reactions? What kind of alignment can we expect coming out of this of Iran's neighbors, of Iran's allies in reaction to this? What do you guys think about that? So let's start with Russia and China.
Well, that's the diamond in the rough. I mean, that's like this is the shot across the bow, right? This is everything that they have ever thought about BRICS, about having a separate system and a separate kind of, you know, infrastructure from U.S. imperialism is all validated in spades right now. So it's like, if you're Russia and China and you start to say, dude, see what I'm saying? Do you see what I mean? See? Like, you can't, dude, you can't trust these moments. Like, and I think that is done. That's the end. I mean, obviously, you know, I've thought this for years, that and you've talked about it, the American empire decline, this is accelerationism in its finest hour. Not that I don't approve. I don't like acceleration. I think it's scary and crazy because you don't know where it's going, but we're here now. So it's like, oh my God, this guy is exactly what we figured. What would a crazy person at the head of empire do except shoot himself in the foot 1,000 times?
Yeah.
Because there's nothing else left. Nothing left to do. They don't.
Right.
There's nothing. They're chasing ghosts everywhere. In Venezuela, in Bolivia, in Ukraine, in Syria, they are on the run while trying to look like they're in charge, which is
exactly
a weird metaphor. Like, you know, but I think that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've said for the last 3 years consistently, I'm quite happy to see Donald Trump in the White House. I mean, what better situation can you have than to have a bumbling idiot who really lacks any knowledge that would be necessary to even do the fundamentals of the job that he's in, you know, as your enemy, as the leader of your enemy. And I've said over and over again, Trump has done more damage already prior to this. He's done more damage to the goals and aspirations of the American empire and of the global imperialist system than any anti-imperialist forces have been able to accomplish over the last 10 years.
True.
Just having an idiot for an enemy has done us more good. It's not something that we want. It's not something that we want. It's not something that we relish. But you know, if you've got to have an enemy, please, Lord, make him an idiot. I mean, you know, take Hillary Trump, Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, who was the other person who actually won the election last time by 3 million votes, she is just as hateful, just as imperialist, just as criminal as Trump.
Especially toward Iran.
But she's highly intelligent. You know, think if we had an enemy like her in the White House, who's highly intelligent and just as hateful and criminal as Donald Trump is. We'd be in a much worse situation right now. I don't even know if we'd be alive right now. I think we might all just be have gone up in nuclear dust. But yeah, I mean the having Trump there, Trump has done tremendous damage. He's accelerated the decline of the American empire tremendously. With this thing, it's like his ultimate blunder. Seriously, you look at, you know, any of the possible permutations, and it's hard to see Trump coming out of this better off than when he started.
Yeah.
Trump, you know, if you had asked me last week who's going to win the American election, I would have said probably Trump, you know. But if Trump gets us into this kind of mess that brings the whole global economic system crashing down around our ears, I don't think it's inevitable at all that he'll win the election next November. You know, it becomes much more likely that he'll be impeached. Because he's got a lot of enemies, even among the even among the Republican Party, his own party. He's got a lot of people who really dislike him. So, I'm not sure how this is going to go.
Yeah.
Really. So anyway, what have you guys seen on the media reaction to the Soleimani assassination? Anything interesting there?
Go ahead, Rainier.
Pardon me, I didn't catch that, Dan.
I thought Rainier was going to...
It just falls into the corporate media trough that everything else is. It's unbelievably stupid. My wife and I, like, avoided all weekend. We avoided the news because we were afraid of this bullshit. It's like, first of all, except for, you know, Bernie has a slightly half-assed good take. Everyone else is prefacing with, well, he's a murderer, but, you know, he was designated. Of course, he was designated as a terrorist because the U.S. is trying to demonize Iran. There's no history there. There's no analysis. There's no understanding of what goes into these decisions. Because they're, what do you call them, journalists? I don't know. Like, of course, because he is opposing the U.S. forces in Syria, in Iraq, the Al Qaeda, the ISIS, the forces that are supported and funded by the CIA and the United States, and that's the thing you mentioned Iraq and Iran, but all over the region, this dude was a pro specific. Because he spearheaded the fight against globalized, international, militarized terrorism, the establishment of the ISIS caliphate and all that stuff. He's the guy. He was the one. And, you know, like now,
the U.S. is left with blood on its hands for no reason. You know, the lie that they concocted about what was an imminent threat against American lives, was that, you know, it's just crap. And
yeah.
Now they're naked. The emperor is naked and
without clothing. Definitely. Okay, guys, we've got less than 5 minutes left on the show. We've got a caller here, so I want to quickly try to get this caller in. Let me just hello, 314 caller.
Hello, fellas. How are you doing?
Good. What's your name?
Oh, my name is Pianchi. How are you?
Calling
from the
Pianchi,
Midwest.
What are your thoughts? What do you have a question or thoughts?
Well, my thoughts is I'm happy that this terrorist is eliminated. I really am. And I think that the United States military made the right decision. Let me say this. Anytime you kill Americans, either soldiers or citizens, you're going to be hunted down and the retaliation is going to be taken on you, and that's the way it should go. But I appreciate what's going on. I appreciate Donald Trump. I'm African-American, by the way. I come out and say that I supported him, and those who don't, that's you know, that's their business. But I just want to put that in and contribute. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I would well, it's too bad. I would just ask, what did he say his name, Tianca? You know, what's the evidence that Soleimani had anything to do with it, or the Iranians? Or the Iraqis, Iraqi militias, for that reason, had anything to do with that attack last week on an American base in Iraq. So far, I've seen absolutely no evidence presented. Iran says that they weren't involved. So where's their evidence? And yet they're going to murder this person and cause possibly cause a global calamity out of it in an act of terrorism. When you say this guy says that that he's glad that the terrorist was killed, well, first
eliminated.
Of all, he's eliminated. First of all, he's not a terrorist. He's a military leader, and he's been instrumental in the fight against ISIS. More so than practically anyone else there. I mean, there are other factors. There are other countries that were involved in helping to eliminate ISIS. America, not so much. But, you know, that's what he is. How the hell do you call one of the most effective anti-terrorist military leaders, how do you call them a terrorist? It's ridiculous. And the real terrorists here are Donald Trump and his cabal of neocons in Washington.
Absolutely. Brainwashing. You know, it's, that's amazing that dude could say that, you know, that even in like a micro environment, this dude in this particular 72-hour period was on a peace mission, invited
right.
by the Prime Minister of Iraq to try to broker peace, and that the brainwashing that is not this dude, but everybody that if it involves U.S. troops, then you are, that's the danger. Then
right.
it is avengeable times 10 with the power of nuclear. And
right. Okay, guys, we're out of time. We've got about 40 seconds
right.
left. So let me just leave you with the idea that you can find out more about us. Go on Facebook and put election boycott advocates into this Facebook search engine and we'll come up. We'll be back again next Monday with probably a lot more info on this. And Dan, I'd like to thank you so much. You've really helped to make this show a special one under these tragic circumstances. Yeah. And Rainer, as always, we'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.